Matthew 5, verses 1 to verse 12. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, as we just heard read. Today and next Sunday, we'll be talking about growing in our assurance of salvation. I think we all at times have serious questions about knowing God. Maybe temptation or our sin or circumstances overwhelm us, and we think in our lives that, do I really have a real relationship with the Lord? Maybe I'm just a hypocrite who says one thing and does another. So under conviction or under stress or under trials, I can feel so distant from God. Have you had that kind of relationship at times, that kind of questions in your head and your heart? Do I know God? Well, let me challenge you to first consider this. Is a hypocrite someone who just says one thing and does another? If so, then all of us could be guilty of hypocrisy, right? Because we all say one thing and we love Jesus with all our heart and soul and mind. We just sang a song about how much we love God and we love Him above all else. And yet we know our own lives don't always measure up, right? So when I fail to do right, or when I do the wrong things, am I a hypocrite? See, I know I don't have it all together, but am I an actual hypocrite? In the Beatitudes that we just read, look at them with me. Look in your Bibles with me. Jesus teaches us about a disciple who is blessed. And what do we see? The first thing is they're spiritually poor. They're poor in spirit. They're mourning. These people are sad about something. They're meek. They're not people that have it all together. They're meek. They're eager for righteousness. In fact, the way Jesus puts it, they hunger and they thirst for righteousness because they don't have their fill. They're starving for it. These people are merciful. They understand that they lack things in their life and they need something else. And these people also have hearts that are pure, pure in heart. Is anyone here like that? In your life, you're pure in heart. You know every motive of your heart is pure all the time. We know we don't have it all together, right? Think about it. Poor in spirit. They're bankrupt. They have a deep sense of loss. They're mourning. They're not on top of the world. They don't have the tiger by the tail. They don't have it all together, these blessed people of God. And they have a strong appetite and a thirst because there's something missing. They need mercy. See, do these blessed people have it all together? Not at all. In fact, it's their recognition of their lack, their loss, their shortfall even, that places them in a blessed category. That places them in this place where Jesus calls them blessed. They are not hypocrites because they fall short. In fact, they are blessed because they know how short they have fallen. They have a sense of how bad things are in their life. What's gone wrong? They admit bankruptcy. They grieve over their loss, and in meekness, they admit they're not on top of everything. They don't know it all. They don't have it all together. And so I say to you, friends, I'm sure that we'd all like to grow in our assurance that we truly know the Lord, that we truly belong to Him, that we're not self-deceived hypocrites. And the fact is, we can know. By internal evidence, by external evidence, we can know that we do belong to Jesus and that we are blessed. And so the main point this week is this. Growing assurance comes from evidence of a heart that's changed. A heart that's changed away from rebellion against God. A heart that is truly broken over our sin. That's where we'll be going this week and then next week as well. But before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Jesus, you call people blessed as they display evidence of a heart change in their lives. Please teach us from your word today. Cause that heart change in us, or continue that heart change by your Spirit's work. In your name we ask. Amen. Now we're mainly just going to look this week at the first few Beatitudes, since these first few are the ones that really help us wrestle with two important aspects of this internal heart change. The first question then really is my heart broken? Is my heart really broken? And the second question is, what is my heart after? What do I long for? What do I look for? What do I seek? My heart is broken. What do I look for? So in the first question, is our heart broken? You see, there are all kinds of circumstances in our lives. All of us here have experienced events which cause our hearts to break. Events in our lives which cause us to grieve, which cause us to hurt, even cause us despair. In 4:23, if you look back just a little bit from the passage we're examining, Matthew makes the point about the middle of verse 23 that Jesus goes around proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. There are people here in verse 24, it tells us people that had various diseases, those oppressed by demons, those epileptics and paralytics, and Jesus healed them. These were people in pain. These were people broken by ill health. These were people oppressed by demons. And now Jesus has healed them. He's bringing a physical change in their life, a blessing, by restoring them. Verse 23 says that all started when Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and then he started healing them. In other words, when the kingdom comes in to a person's life, it's a blessing and it changes them and things in their lives begin to change. However, after healing the crowds, notice what happens next. It's the beginning of our section of Scripture. Chapter 5, verse 1. Jesus goes up to a mountain. And his disciples, they come to him. And he teaches them. And with his disciples, he speaks of another kind of brokenness. Not the physical brokenness of ill health and sadness or hurting or oppression by demons. Here, he begins with a different kind of brokenness. Poor in spirit, and those who mourn. The word poor here is a destitute kind of poor. It's not poor because I don't have the niceties of life, you know, because I don't have the newest LCD, you know, 50-inch TV or anything like that. It's poor that they don't have anything. These are the ones that are so poor that all they can do is trust God, and they put their trust in God alone, because that's all they have. They realize, these people, that they're utterly helpless. They are broke. They must fully rely on God to meet every one of their needs. And don't forget, this isn't just their needs physically. What is Jesus talking about? Poor in spirit. These are spiritual needs that these people have. In other words, they are spiritually bankrupt. And now, all they can do is rely on God to meet their needs. They can't contribute anything because they have nothing to give. And so what is this desperate need? What is it that these people need so desperately? Well, the next beatitude tells us. These people are mourning. These people are not mourning the loss of a loved one. They're not mourning because there's general sadness in the world. These people are mourning over sin. You say, how do you know that, Mark? Because it doesn't say that right there. It doesn't. But look back again, chapter 4, verse 17. How did all this start? All this coming of the kingdom and what's going on and how does this kingdom come in? Well, Jesus begins the preaching of the kingdom in 4:17. What does he say? From that time on, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching about repentance. He's telling the people, you need to repent because the kingdom is here. And then the next thing you see is after he starts proclaiming this message of repent, the kingdom of heaven, and then the next thing is he calls his disciples. And then the next thing is he starts healing the crowd. And the next thing is he starts teaching his disciples. And it all begins with repentance. See, these blessed people are not proud hypocrites who won't admit anything, who won't admit that they've fallen short. These blessed people don't think that they're better than everyone else. They're not hypocrites. No. They're meek. They're humble. They know they have no claim on anything. Therefore, Jesus says, what does he say in verse 5? That blessing, they will inherit the earth. To put it another way, they recognize that the real power, that the real control in this world is not theirs for the taking. The real power, the real control belongs to God alone. And they're willing to submit to his rule. They're meek. Therefore, God will give them the earth. So I'm asking you, friend, brother and sister, is your heart broken over your sin, your lack, your loss, the shortfall in your life? Will you openly admit that God alone can meet your desperate need? Then you are poor in spirit. Then you are in the right frame of mind to be a disciple, to be one who is blessed by God. How about control? Do you think you have it all together? Do you think you have everything under control in your life? Do you think that everything runs at your command? Or do you know that God is in control? See, a hypocrite won't repent. A hypocrite admits nothing is wrong with their life. A hypocrite won't bow to God's control. However, kingdom disciples, brothers and sisters who are kingdom disciples, here you are, a disciple of the kingdom. You are broken over your sin, right? As an ongoing way, you're willing to repent. Not just the one time where you crossed the line and became a believer, but as a lifestyle. Because you know, in all of your life, in every part, there's still things that need to be yielded to God. There's still things where you need to admit you're wrong. But what do we have from Jesus' lips? Remember, we're trying to grow your assurance, not beat you down, right? What do we have from Jesus' lips? Those who are taking this path, those who will admit they're wrong, those who will be humble and meek. What does Jesus say about you? You are blessed. You are blessed. Now that blessing should build your assurance, shouldn't it? If you're willing to take the road and humble yourself, to be meek and admit you're wrong, you have great assurance from Jesus' own lips. You are blessed. And this blessing of brokenness over sin, it doesn't stop there. Blessed hearts, those who are blessed, their hearts hunger and thirst for righteousness. They also display mercy and purity as God gives them grace. So where do we see that? Well, the next really question is, we know what we're broken over. Now what are we after? What are we looking for? What are we seeking? And that's the next few Beatitudes. We'll have hearts that are desperate for righteousness. Look at verse 6. Hearts that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. See, Jesus uses this language here because what he's amplifying is these words, hunger and thirst. You need food every day, you need water every day, and according to this, you need righteousness, and you lack it. You're missing it. And you're missing it so much that you're desperate for it. You're hungering and thirsting. And the way that Jesus emphasizes it here in the Greek and really in the Aramaic as well, is you don't just want a slice of bread. You want the whole loaf. You're not just going to be satisfied with a cup to quench your thirst. You want the whole tank. You know, you need water. You need food. And in this way, Jesus emphasizes you need righteousness and you're hungry for it. You've got an appetite for righteousness. Now, who is the righteous one? Who is the one who has all righteousness, who is perfectly righteous? Who is the source of righteousness? God. Jesus. And so this person who is hungry and thirsty for righteousness is hungry for everything that God can give them. He's hungry for all of God, or she's hungry for all of God. This person is hungry for what God can provide them. And God says that He will satisfy them because He will give them everything from Himself. See, it will satisfy our heart's longing when we hunger and thirst for our God. What else is our heart after? Righteousness, but also mercy. Hearts that display mercy. See, early in the Beatitudes, we do recognize our own sin. We do recognize our own lack, our own shortfall. We're mourning over it. We know that we need mercy from God. We can't deserve it. We can't earn it. So it must be mercy that we need from God. And so too our hearts hunger and they thirst for God and for this mercy that God provides. Once again, God will supply and satisfy our need. See, not just in some little corner, or not just on Sunday. This is an ongoing thing that's all of our lives. It consumes every area, our finances, our use of time, our setting of priorities. This hunger and thirst, and now this mercy that we need, we don't just need mercy in a little area of our life, do we? We need mercy in all areas of life. And we need to be people who can display mercy in all areas of life. You see, having experienced God's forgiveness, having received righteousness from God who gives us so that we are satisfied, God's mercy and righteousness, it's changed our hearts. And because it's changed our hearts, we need to be people who display it to others. Our heart is after a display of mercy. Our heart is after righteousness. Also, our heart is after purity. Now, there's two things to note here when we get down to verse 8. The first is, Jesus says that as these eight Beatitudes are displayed in our life, as these eight things come out in our lives, we are blessed people. Look at the way we entered the kingdom. We entered because we were people who needed something. Ours is the kingdom of heaven because we are poor in spirit. And when you're poor in spirit, What does Jesus say? We've begun this relationship. We've entered into the kingdom. Ours is the kingdom. We've entered into this relationship with God as our King, with the King of the kingdom. That's the first thing to notice. We are blessed people because we're in the kingdom. But the second thing is, it keeps saying shall. Look at number two, beatitude number two. And all the way down to beatitude number seven, it talks about you shall receive, you shall get, this shall be yours. It indicates that in our current situation, we might still experience sadness, mourning over sin, right? Poverty. We don't have it all right now. We are entering the kingdom. But is the kingdom fully here yet? Well, Jesus came and then he left. But when he returns permanently, the King will be here. So in this time, we are experiencing some of these blessings, but we will receive them in full when the kingdom comes in full. In short, these blessings are a bit like promises. Promises for those who have entered the kingdom that you will receive them, somewhat as we go along, but also in the end in full. For example, this beatitude, pure in heart. As I said at the beginning, is anyone here perfectly pure in their heart? Well, then you're not going to see God. Is that what this beatitude is saying? You're not perfectly pure in heart, you're not going to see God. Let me read you a few passages from other sections of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. In other words, as a disciple of Jesus, flee these things that could cause you to stumble. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with all those who call on God from a pure heart. In other words, that purity is growing in your life because you're getting away from those things that turn you away from God and you're pursuing God. We call on God from a pure heart. So when Jesus returns, we'll see him face to face. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Here's what it says. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. In other words, we can't quite see what we're going to be yet. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Again, the ongoing experience of the believer in this life is we want to grow in purity. Because we want to see God. And it's an ongoing process. So, believer, you are not done just because you once repented. It's an ongoing lifestyle. You are not done because one time you showed mercy. It's a lifestyle of showing mercy. You are not done because you hungered and thirsted for God. Yeah, well, I remember that in 1968. I remember hungering for God really a lot. No. It's an ongoing thing. You are continually hungering and thirsting. Let me read you one final passage. Revelation 22, 3 and 4. This is describing the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. The arrival of the kingdom in full. No longer, Revelation says, will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, in this new city, this heavenly Jerusalem. And his servants will worship him. They will see him face to face. His name will be on their foreheads. Certainly, brothers and sisters, this life has its temptations and our sin. And our circumstances can sometimes just feel so overwhelming, can't they? But the truth is, we embrace the gospel of the kingdom by repenting of our sin, admitting that we are bankrupt, that we're debtors, we're poor in spirit, we have nothing. And Jesus calls us this, we are blessed. When that is true of us, we are blessed. We are in the place of blessing. And that should cause us to grow in our assurance because our Savior calls us blessed. In addition, being Jesus' disciples citizens of the kingdom, those who are in relationship with the king. We should avoid hypocrisy, shouldn't we? We should grow in our assurance and be those who live in the kingdom the way we entered it, meek and humble, repentant, looking to be satisfied by God alone and all that He can give us, showing mercy and being those who indeed are striving for purity of heart so that we might see God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we are about to come to your table, this time of communion where we recognize that we have a relationship with you and we want to celebrate that. But also, Lord, we have a relationship with one another. We too want to celebrate that. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, because we know without it we would be dead in our sins. But you have allowed us a relationship with you. You have given us the ability, the desire to repent, because we know our lives are not right with you. Please cause us to grow in assurance that we are indeed people blessed by God. Also, help us to know your great mercy as we bear witness of your love to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.